have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
Okay, it's 6 minutes after 12, and we are ready with today's phone-in. If you want to give us a call, 240666, and you can also Skype us as well. Let me just double-click Skype and open it up so we're all ready to receive your Skype calls as well. Our subject for the day is quite simple. We're asking the question, or I put... It was more of a statement yesterday. I put four pictures up of four politicians that I think, my own personal view, and I'm being realistic, that have a chance of being our Prime Minister come May. David Cameron?
Mm-hmm.
Remind me.
Nick Clegg. Nigel Farage.
And
the Wallace and Gromit man.
Ed Miliband, yeah.
That's it, yeah.
But the only thing that may happen is one of them may be swapped.
For Boris.
Cameron. For Boris.
Yeah.
Okay? Permission to purr. That was so funny. That was so funny. Hi, who's this?
Ian.
Keith.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. Have you freed yourself of the disc this morning?
Of a disc?
Yeah.
Go on.
Tax disc.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
I have.
Yes.
I took it off.
Do you feel brave?
I do.
Is it like a bit like taking your bra off or...
It's worse, because if I took my bra off, I probably would get arrested, but I probably would.
Yeah, you become the free woman.
When you've got boobs, you're never free, Keith. Let me tell you that for nothing.
Well, I keep seeing on Facebook, what is it? I got myself out of a speeding ticket by flashing my boobs. Have you seen that?
Blimey, O'Reilly.
Yeah.
My husband could do that.
So can
you... No, we got moobs.
Yeah.
So can you can actually take your disc off now. You don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry about it.
Big Brother is watching you, Ian.
So, I mean, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's all done electronically now. So, they can just tell. Your tax, your MOT, your insurance, and
isn't that giving people a lot more work to do if they're trying to check you out, though?
Ian?
Go on.
Go down the red funnel.
Yeah.
And you'll see two cameras.
Yeah.
Which are ANPR. And that registers every vehicle that comes off and goes on the island.
Right, okay.
Yep.
Hang on a sec there, Keith. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Philip.
Hi, Phil. Just hang on a sec there. We're just in the process of sorting out Keith's tickets. So, I don't doubt there's photographs and they've got everything logged. But just say, for instance, if you're a Bobby on the street and you want to know whether... Hang on, let's see if his tax disc is in. They've got to go and look somewhere for that now, haven't they?
Yeah, but not only that, it's all registered Swans, isn't it?
Don't they make the Bobby's jobs a little bit harder, then?
I don't think the Bobby's jobs is going to be to check anymore, because there's going to be so many automatic number recognition cameras around.
ANPR.
That they're going to do the job instead. Hopefully freeing up our Bobby's to fight crime.
Yeah.
You never know.
If you know a known criminal.
Yeah.
And you know his vehicle he's driving, you can follow that vehicle and see where it's going by the ANPR cameras.
But the daft thing is, and what you just said there, not you, Keith, but what you just said there, Becky, is absolutely right. But when those coppers actually get someone that's been naughty, they can't actually get them into prison because there ain't no prisons.
Well, you saying that, mate, there ain't nowhere to put the illegal immigrants or immigrants at the moment. They're in a hotel in Bournemouth.
Wow.
But, I mean, it just beggars belief, doesn't it? The common sense tells you that if the crime rate is up, build some more prisons, and if our bobbies are now on the street, they're going to be doing a bit more arresting people for damage and destruction and so on and so forth, because they don't have to worry about tax discs anymore. That would suggest they've got this about bottom about face, haven't they?
Why?
Well, because when they get them into court and they say, well, you're guilty of, but we ain't got no room in the prison, so you can go and do one more and then we'll have to lock you up.
Well, it's like you say earlier, it's full of petty criminals.
Yeah.
Hey, don't bring me into it.
full of petty criminals. Hey. That's a nice one, Phil, yeah.
That's clever for you, Phil.
Obviously, they're all pyromaniacs.
Yeah, another one, boom, boom.
Yeah, like you're saying, sadly, look at the case of this poor girl's, the body they found today.
Have they found it? Is it her?
Yeah, well, it hasn't been confirmed, but they've informed the parents, so obviously, you know, Bex, as well as I do, if something's been in the water a long time, you know exactly what happens.
Yeah, I do.
Mm. And obviously they don't want the parents, if it is her, to go and sort of identify her, because it's not a very nice situation. You know, yeah. It's not very nice at all. And also, it looks as if it's an immigrant that caused the crime, so they reckon, allegedly.
See, again, you know, they put the detail out there. Why do they do that? Just to stir it up. Be factual with it. You know, well, that's what I say to our media. Be factual with it. If it was, then say so. You know, now are your colours to the mast. Don't put the doubt out there and say, oh, well, all accounts, it may have been. And I think that's just so wrong.
Well, at least it's a lead, isn't it? At least it's better than putting on sorry, people, we ain't got a clue.
No, but the trouble is...
You just put out that it's a human that's did this and then kind of define them later when they know.
Exactly. All that does is just stir it up.
It's smearing,
and all this,
isn't it?
We've got enough racial hatred in this country to last us a lifetime.
Indeed.
And all that does is just stir it up even more, doesn't it?
Very true.
And who's doing it? The media. Because then they can go around and report on it.
Well,
The media should report the news, not create it.
Well, true.
Ooh. Yeah. That's a good saying, Macron.
It's what they call people control, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you look at this Daily Mirror sting. Because that's what it is. Okay, the bloke was caught with his trousers down. Okay, that's wrong on so many levels. But it was created. That news story was created by the Daily Mirror.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't create the news. Just write the news and make sure that it's bloody truthful.
Well, the News of the World, they used to do things like that, mate, didn't they? You know, you used to have a briefcase on the desk with a camera in it.
Yeah, and look what happened to them.
Yeah.
I missed the news.
Look what happened to them. They did all out of it. They shut that one down and just brought out the Sunday Sun.
Yeah, no, that's a con in itself, isn't it?
Well, there you go, look. You see, they saved money on that, though. They sacked staff for that.
Anyway, should we let old Pyro Petty have a go?
Yes, mate.
Thanks for your call, Keith.
Yeah, cheers, then.
Oh, Keith.
Yes, mate. It's wonderful.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Keith the Trucker. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
We're not giving you the bumps today, darling.
Have a lovely, lovely day, Keith.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
Cheers. All the best.
Bye.
Bye, Dex.
Bye,
Phil.
Bye.
Were you singing, Phil?
Oh, no, not quite, no.
Well, I always felt a bit alone. I mean, Bex was singing, but you weren't.
Oh, I'm not really a singer. I thought I'd given up singing these days. So, like, when I start singing, people normally switch off.
Okay. Anyway, what did you want to phone? What did you want to speak about?
I just found out this bit about Boris. You said about them dumping Cameron, and you said Boris. You're forgetting one thing.
What?
Boris is not an MP. There's no way Boris could be leader of the Conservative Party or Prime Minister until he's an MP, and he's not up MP till next year.
I know, but they're shooting him into a state seat, so it's pretty sure that he will be an MP.
He will be an MP, but what I'm saying is he can't actually be Prime Minister until they'd have to, somewhere further down the line, get rid of Cameron or replace him with somebody else beforehand.
Okay, what happens if whoever, you know, he could. I accept what you're saying, and I'm not even going to try and dig myself out of it. That was an oversight on my behalf, and, you know, but the fact is, between now and then, one of those MPs could die or resign, and they could shoehorn him in, couldn't they?
They'd have to fathom up a by-election somewhere to get him in.
Yeah. But then I look at this in a different way now, because I'm looking at it and thinking, ah, old Cameron, he's safe for now.
What's happened to the guys that have gone over to UKIP in the Conservative Party? Will that stimulate a by-election?
Yeah, there is. There's a by-election next week, the Clacton by-election.
And there's another couple, isn't there,
going to
come up then?
Somebody said somebody else has gone over, and I just had a look. There's the one that just gone over last week is Rochester. There's going to be a by-election for that one, but I just had a look on the UKIP's Facebook page. It's not actually another Conservative MP that's gone over. It's one of the multi-millionaire Conservative backer that's gone over to UKIP. He's not actually MP.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
For the Tories.
He's just given UKIP a donation of £100,000.
Oh, Nigel, sort that one out at the pub.
Well, that's with beer money, isn't it?
Yeah, beer and fags for Nige.
But yeah, I personally, you know, I like UKIP personally. I think they offer something different, and I will be voting UKIP next year.
Well, each to their own.
I don't buy this about the UKIP want to abolish the National Health. I haven't seen anything that backs up these statements that people have said. UKIP, I think they're straight speak, and they appeal not just to people who support Conservative Party. They're making inroads into the Labour voters as well, because I think they're common sense parties. So when they went on a few years ago about putting the tax out, what people didn't actually realise, there wasn't said, the reason they said about putting the tax out is they want to merge the national insurance and tax together to make it like a more to make it more understandable. I personally understand tax 20%, I understand my allowance, but I haven't got a foggiest about how they work out national insurance, how much you pay. Wouldn't it be make more sense to have national insurance and tax all rolled in together? That way you'd know up front what you've got to pay, you can work it out. It'd be much fairer, if you ask me.
I think you're absolutely right. And how about this? Instead of that stupid idea of taking your tax disc off and creating work for bobbies on the street, wouldn't it have been fairer to put the tax on the fuel?
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I don't drive anyway.
If you the more you drive, the more you pay. It's as simple as that.
I think there's got to be some sort of sense to that. So you've got a little car and you just go around town and it's just a few miles a week. Why should you actually pay as much tax as somebody bombs up the motorway every day?
Hang on, guys, I think you've gone a bit mad. Firstly, if you've just got a little car, you can actually get to the point where you don't have to pay any tax at all if it's a green car.
£20 a year.
And secondly, we do have fuel tax. That's why our fuel is so mentally expensive. About 80 pence of every litre is fuel
tax.
While
we're sorting that out, make that a bit fairer as well, then.
Go on.
But yeah, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that need sorting out. And you need a common sense approach to it. And the Three Stooges, if you like, they're just in for themselves. And you might say Nigel Farage is another one. I personally think he's all right. A lot of people like him, a lot of people don't. But I just think they're going to make it. It's clear they're going to make a breakthrough this year. Nigel Farage is not going to be Prime Minister, and that is clear. But I do think UKIP are going to make a breakthrough, and I just think they've got a more common sense approach to things, if you ask me.
Two things about Nigel Farage and the UKIP. I don't understand why these television people keep saying they're going to get votes off the Tories because of. They're going to get votes. They're going to get votes from all corners. They're not going to get a little bit here and most of it from someone. They're going to get it from all corners.
It's going to come all over. People from different backgrounds support UKIP for different reasons.
And the other thing was about UKIP. It's gone completely out of my head, which irritates me to the point where I want to sit here and go. It's like going into a room and thinking, what did I come in here for? There was something else that was important about UKIP, and it was vital.
It's going
anyway,
to be very,
it'll come to me.
There's something else that annoys you, what people say about UKIP. They say we're the new Nazis. Like they put the rise of UKIP, compared it to the rise of Hitler, and I think that's absolute nonsense. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to vote for somebody like Hitler.
Pits. They're going to open the pits.
Yeah, the
UKIP.
I think that's a good idea.
Like, brilliant idea.
What's wrong with that? I mean, we've got to sort the green issues. I sort of half agree with that. I don't agree with everything the Greens say. But what you ask me, like switching off all the power stations when they've got no backup of what they're going to do in the meantime, well, is absolutely stupid.
Hang on a sec there, Phil. Hi, who's this?
How you doing, Ian? It's Jay.
I thought it'd be him.
Right. Jay, meet Pyro. Phil.
How you doing,
Phil?
Hello, right. Jay. Carry on.
Carry on. Well, pits. I kind of, when we heard that, both my wife looked at the telly and thought, blimey, they've got some policies. Because let's be honest, they didn't have that many. When I first heard it, I thought, oh, they're going to open up the pits. Well, Maggie Thatcher shut them down. So
UKIP's always had policies. You just don't hear about them. And yeah, sure, like people going about UKIP haven't got a manifesto, and neither has anybody else until the general election comes up.
Yeah, so how the heck can we know what to vote for? That's the question, isn't it?
Well, David Cameron doesn't have a plan B.
Because you've been read the manifesto. Yeah. It's a question of who do you trust, and I know who I don't trust, and whether I prove right or wrong, I just think you can trust UKIP, or I might be proved wrong. And if that's the case in a couple of years' time, it's proved I'm wrong, I'll come on and I'll tell you I was wrong.
Well, here's something. The BBC Newsflash: threshold for paying 40p income tax rate will rise from 41,900 to 50,000 under a Tory government, David Cameron says. That's helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're already rich.
Exactly.
I'm not one of these ones that's on 25,000 a year on the Isle of Wight. I don't get anywhere near it.
Phil, he falls in line with the high-end tax break as well, mate.
That's probably true.
No, it is true. He said it. You know, I'm not. This isn't a me and you thing here. We're discussing the UKIP, but he has said that. You know, he's. I don't know how to put it. He's just an extension of the Tory party, Phil. I honestly think you're going to feel so let down, mate. I do. Mm-hmm.
But, well, we're going to have to agree to differ on that. But like I say, if I'm proved wrong, I'll come on and I'll tell you I was wrong. But I think UKIP got something to offer and I'm going to support them.
Well, okay, I accept that, if you say that. But what is it... Can you tell me, you know, let's say I was a swing voter, how would you convince me? What has he
it's
got
to
offer?
It's not up to me to convince you. I just convince myself. I'm not out to tell other people how to vote.
Well, I'm asking you how he's convinced you.
The main issue for me is Europe and immigration, and the other two parties do nothing to sort that out.
Making you think that that's a major problem, Phil?
Well, you can't sort anything out because of the bureaucracy of the EU. The most important problem is to get out of the EU, stop immigration, and then we can sort out all the other issues.
Yeah, but I'm asking you, what makes you think that immigration is a major problem?
It just is. You've got to just look at the hotels that all the Polish workers coming over and nicking all the jobs, and
They're not nicking jobs, are they? They're filling jobs that the Brits can't take because of the wages are so low.
That's not actually true, Jay. I know plenty of people on this island who'd love a job in the hotels, but they come over and they're flooding the market with cheap labour. It's forcing the wages down. People are working a minimum wage and they can't manage. And they can't because there's too many people chasing the vacancies because of the number of Eastern Europeans coming over chasing the jobs.
You've just hit the nail on the head, the cheap wages.
They're free to do it. I don't blame them for coming over here because they're free to do it. But on the other hand, it's affecting my income. I work for a pittance. I work higher than the minimum wage, and it wasn't for that and the minimum wage, I'd probably be on a lot more money than what I'm on.
Right, isn't it the minimum wage that's the problem? And
it's
not
the minimum
so much
wage
the immigration?
And the immigration.
Yeah, but the one encourages the other, doesn't it?
Of course, but it's a problem. And all you've got to do is go in the hotel, see how many foreign people hotel is the exception. There's not many in our hotel. The one next to us is full of Polish people, and it's just a problem. It's just going to care homes. It's all Bulgarians, Romanians, Polish, and they're keeping wages down. They're stopping people from getting jobs.
But no, it's not them. It's not the Polish, the Romanians, the Bulgarians, and the Latvians, or whatever, that create the policy that dictate wage levels.
I'm not saying they create the policy. Is the policy, but the policy's wrong. And the only way to do that is the policy.
I completely agree it's the policy that's wrong. Is Nigel Farage forwarding a policy of a living wage?
I don't know. I don't think so. But it's for me, the most important thing is get our own destiny in our hands, stop handing out the millions we hand over to Brussels, then we've got the money to sort everything out. And contrary to belief, this country is not going to be on the sidelines if we leave the EU. We'd be in a stronger position.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you, mate, is if Nigel Farage isn't forwarding a solution to the cause of the problem, then you can't just stay in limbo, just pointing the finger and blaming immigrants and not actually address the issue of a living wage, which is what he's doing.
You can do that once you get out of the EU. You can address all these issues because it's in your hands.
No, you can have it on a manifesto now to say that you're going to do that, but he's not doing that.
When Nigel Farage is announced at the conference, they want to put the tax allowance up to £13,500 before you pay any tax. And if you ask me, that's a step in the right direction.
If there's any jobs.
Of course. Well, those of us who are working, I would be out of tax if they did that, and that's something, it'd be a good thing for me.
But you work in the tourist industry.
I do.
All right. And your industry relies on, obviously, tourism, and the tourism relies on everyone else being able to work, to have a couple of quid in their pocket, to shoot off for a week or so every now and again. But the problem is, the entire economy is being shrunken. So eventually, you're going to have less people coming to your hotel, just on economic purposes alone, because jobs aren't being created.
Well, that's already true. The numbers,
well,
I know numbers
I know,
have gone
I know
down,
that.
But we have a lot of pensioners.
What's for
going
us bringing
down
forward for job creation?
Yeah, but job creation, there's not really anything to do with people coming to our hotel. I mean, this is something that should be done anyway. Most people who come stay at our hotel haven't got jobs because they're retired.
Right, okay. But, I mean, you can't rely on that either, because eventually these people age and, you know...
Well, I'm not saying you can, but I don't have all the answers, Jay. I'm just telling you...
No, I'm not putting it on you, Phil, at all. I'm putting it on your man. These are the questions you need to be asking. You know, where's the living wage, Nigel? Where's the job creation so we can have taxation that's, you know, spinning around the economy? So we've got a central pool of economic resources, and they're not there, Phil. That's the telltale sign, mate. Once you start drilling down into the policies and what's there and what's not, that's why the policies and there is no manifesto is so vague, so we can swim around in this little vacuum, get into power or some sort of leverage of power.
Nobody else has got a manifesto, Jake. There's
pardon?
Not an election until next year. So
you can go online,
a manifesto.
You can go online and read nearly every other party's manifesto now, Phil.
Yeah, none of the parties have a manifesto because they're not fighting an election until next year. So that's not actually true. You can read their past manifestos.
No. You've got one now. The Green Party's is there for 2014.
Is that the one you're supporting?
Who? The Green Party?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I'll be honest with you, Ian, I don't think there's any political solution to our problems. The only reason I would engage with politics is in the hope that it would then realise that it has to fragment down into more local politics and more devolved powers. And I mean devolved powers, not just this localism thing where the centralised, central gov debt gets shifted onto local councils. That's not localism or devolved power. That's just the central government admonishing themselves from responsibility and shifting it onto local councils. But to answer your question, out of all of the parties at the moment, and you look at what we've got to get done, the Green Party are the only ones that are talking any kind of sense. So, yes, I would vote for them if I was going to vote.
I would say I've read the Green Party manifesto because you put it on Facebook, and I thought there's things that, quite frankly, I thought made sense, but there's other things perhaps not so. But the big problem with the Greens to me is they're committed with us to be a member of the EU, and that is the main reason why I would ever vote Green.
Well, they are, but what they want to do, and again, I'm not advocating the Green Party as such, I'm just looking at it from a peripheral view, Phil, and analysing all of the monkeys, and what they want to do, what they're saying they want to do, is reform the EU. And I think that's, I mean, the EU, it does need complete reformation, because it's not democratic. Most of the deals are done behind closed doors. We don't get a direct vote. You got some, but then again as well, even your UKIP, have a look at UKIP's track policy voting record in Brussels. Mm-hmm. They abstain from most of the important things.
They abstain from things that give more power to the EU, and I don't have a problem with that. They vote on issues that don't give power to the EU, and any increase of shift of power from Westminster to Brussels, it's not a good thing. So let's just get out of the EU, then we can sort of have our own policies for human rights, our own policies for the environment, agriculture. We don't need to do it through Brussels.
Yeah, but it's pretty much a red herring. The EU's hung there, Phil, as like a patsy for the incumbent governments of any colour to bounce off some blame. Well, it wasn't us. We can't do it because of the EU.
And but tell me this one thing. Why is it that the accounts of the EU have never been signed off every year for years and not been signed off because of the corruption? So is that something you want to be a member of? Well, I don't.
But can you go and check Westminster's accounts? Can you go and check the Bank of England's accounts?
Oh, I don't know if you can, but all
no,
I know
can't.
Is that
I'm
EU
you
accounts
you
are not signed
well,
off because of the corruption, and I don't want
to
be a member of anything that's corrupt. I don't like Westminster either, by the way,
but
I'd rather
be
governed from Westminster than a bunch of corrupt bureaucrats, and most of which are not been elected.
But that's what I'm saying, Phil. They're both as bad as each other, and making it, you know, when times come that they need some scrutiny, they bounce it off each other.
Yeah, they are both as bad as each other. That's why there needs to be reforms.
Can I ask you both a question?
Yeah, go on.
One saying in Europe, one saying out. I'm saying to you, how do you justify that decision? Do you have any facts and figures? Do you have the accounts in front of you?
Obviously not.
For what do you mean, Ian? Justify what decision? I mean, I'm not necessarily agreeing that we stay in the EU. But
I've always believed that, you know, when you look at in or out of Europe, it comes down to, I'm guessing, this is for me, is it financially better off for us? Does it come down to being financial? If so, we should have some basic accounts that are put out there for everyone to peruse and say, right, okay, if we stay in, we're going to be this much better off or worse off. And if we leave, we're going to be this much worse off or better off. Because at the moment, it just comes down to opinions.
Well, at the end of the day, it's a gravy train, isn't it? The thing is, you want the trade links. Here's the thing. You've got bureaucrats, MPs and CEOs that are facilitating the trade between all of the countries. And there's no reason why we shouldn't have trade between all of the countries. The problem is that they, because they facilitate it, they manifest a very nice living for themselves. So I'm saying, yes, let's have federalism, deep federalism with the EU, but not necessarily pull out of it completely, baby in the bathwater kind of thing. You know, yeah, we haven't got facts and figures to drill into, but just on the premise of the thing, do we want to trade with all our European partners and neighbours? Yeah, of course you do.
Can I simplify it?
Yeah.
If I was
trying to there.
Well, if just so, I'm going to put it in a much smaller scale.
Yeah.
If we went to the Chamber of Commerce on the Isle of Wight and they came to us and said,
do you
want to join? We'd say, how much is it, first of all, so we know how much we're paying, and everyone else that's working in the company knows how much we're paying, and so does everyone else. And what are we going to get out of it? And if we go into the Chamber of Commerce for a whole year and we're paying our money and we're no better off, then I would come out of the Chamber of Commerce because
right.
It's no good to me. Now, that's the sort of place where we need to be with Europe. It should be as simple as that. But the trouble is, people make it far too complicated to understand. Does it come down to finances? The other thing to chuck in, does it come down to wars? Will we be left out in the cold? Just say, for instance, if somebody else, you know, within Europe, like they did in the 1940s and 1914, they decided to go to war. You know, are we going to be treated any differently? Are we going to be a target if we come out of Europe? Those are the two main questions that need to be answered. No one has ever answered that question simply. Financially, we are going to be better off or worse off, and here is the simple basic truth and the proof.
Well, I mean, there's other bodies that are already set up, Ian, for trading with Europe. We're just in this one. You've got EFTA, which is the European Free Trade Association that most of the Nordic countries dabble in. Mm. You don't need to be completely immersed in it. You got NATO. You know, you don't, which brings you under the military alliance umbrella. You don't necessarily need to be so embroiled. It's just a gravy train. So, you know, to shrink it down to the Chamber of Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, I'm not having to go to the Chamber of Commerce, but it's as simple as that.
I know what you say. Yeah, so basically, we're paying the Chamber of Commerce or that body to facilitate, to make money off everybody else. And if you're not getting your fair whack off that, they're just extracting a nice lucrative business for themselves, and nobody else is seeming to benefit, then yeah, do away with them. But by that I'm not saying let's pull out of Europe. I'm saying, you know, far more transparent and open policies. You see, I'm an advocate of worker-owned companies. That's what I advocate. And then, you know, and then have true free trade between different companies. So, you know, a little conglomerate on the island or anywhere in the UK that own their, you know, their business, free to do trade with another group, same that's doing it in Italy or France or Belgium or wherever, you know. I don't see the... You're still paying your taxes, obviously, but I don't see why we have to have top-down NGO, CEO-run businesses. Do you know what I mean? And then your wage levels are far more in control and more egalitarian and fair. You're not making profit just so matey can whiz around in a, you know, 200 grand Bentley or whatever, and you're on £8 an hour if you're lucky.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And these things are common in other places. They're just not.
Sure.
I mean, you had older forms of it here, like the co-op and stuff. But things swell and they get too big for their boots. You see, people aren't content, and then you get investors coming in and shareholders and blah blah blah, and
greed.
It just goes bananas.
It comes down to a lot of greed. Look, what I like about you two is you're both like singing off different hymn sheets, but you're listening to each other, and I think it makes a great debate, because let's be honest, there is no right and wrong here. It just comes down to opinion.
I think Jay's a very intelligent man. I do listen to what he says. A lot of what he said there makes sense, but like, we don't need to be a member of the EU. We've got all these other things. It's not, for me, it's not anything against Europe. I love Europe. It's just that what it should be is about trade and cooperation. We don't need the politics and the gravy train that comes with it.
Sure.
See, I agree with everything you've just said there.
Absolutely, Phil.
Take the politics out of it, and you've got a winning solution.
What I don't like about the EU topic, right, is what all your mainstream right-wing press are doing and using it as leverage to blame it on immigrants and you know, people from other countries. That is a sinister tactic. And it's a dangerous one. And I'm wondering about, you know, just talking about UKIP and the Green Party. And this is just a fact, Ian, right? A couple of facts. UKIP was started in 1993, right? Now, during the European elections and at any other time, I mean, he's hardly ever off bloody question time, they're getting blanket media coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, they've basically popped up out of nowhere, right? The Green Party, in 1972, they've been established. Well, they were established at first called the People's Party, and then they gradually changed in about 1985 or something. No coverage. No.
We were saying that. Well, you know, when the Green Party said that they wanted to do £10 minimum wage, there was practically no coverage at all. And then Labour came along and said, we're going to do £8, and then suddenly it was everywhere.
Yeah.
And we were saying, that's unfair.
Yeah.
You know, what chance has any party got without media coverage?
But I'm just going to chuck a question out there. There's four of us here, you know, two on the phone, two in the studio. Who is the Green parliamentary candidate yet? Have they been announced? Do we know who they are?
What, for the island?
Yeah.
No idea.
I don't know for the island. Yeah, they don't seem to... I don't know, but are they getting coverage? I have no idea.
I'll be honest with you.
Who the UKIP candidate is.
Go on in, name
Ian
him.
McKiddy, his name was.
Ian McKiddy, ooh.
It's Ian McKee,
To be honest with you, I think they should all get coverage. I totally agree with what Jay's saying.
I absolutely agree.
They've had equal coverage for all parties.
I absolutely agree, but I'll tell you what, I've had correspondence from Andrew Turner, I've had correspondence from Stuart from the Labour Party, and also Ian McKee from UKIP. I've had nothing from the Green Party ever. The door is open. They are more than welcome. I should not have to go and try and get them on air. They should come to us. If they want to be elected next year, they should get their fingers out, make themselves known, and let us know what their policies are so we can make a decision. There's no good It's no good keeping it to yourself. You have to get off your backside and do something.
So did you chase up the other guys, Andrew Turner, or did they get in touch with you?
Andrew Turner very often gets in touch with me. He sends me press releases all the time. Yeah. So does Stuart, and so does UKIP, the UKIP fellow as well.
But did you invite them to come on, or they asked to come on?
I've invited them numerous times. They've invited themselves numerous times. The fact of the matter is I've had nothing from the Green Party whatsoever. I get press releases from Andrew Turner all the time. What I'm saying is whenever there must be a press release coming out from the Green Party, we never get it.
Okay. Well, right. I mean, I can't... I'm just trying to think of the fellow's name on there. I can't remember what his name is. But
Jay, the whole point is, how sad is that you don't know? And I'm not trying to trip you up here, because...
No, it's not. As I keep saying, Ian, I'm not necessarily an advocate of the Green Party. What I am saying, after analysing all of them, they're the only ones worth voting for, because there's no difference anymore between Labour, Lib Dem and Cons. And UKIP are just an extension of the Cons, and Ophel doesn't want to hear that, but that's exactly what's going on.
No, I don't agree with their...
Okay, fair enough. And what's happening in the mainstream media is the public perception is being completely pushed to the right wing and the blame ideology. And then that fertilises the ground for your likes of Farage and the Tory party to push policies that punish people, because what they're not telling people the truth of why the economy... I mean, why are we having the cuts? For instance, does anyone know why we're having the cuts?
Because we're all a bit skint, apparently. That's what we're being told.
Yeah, but we can't.
We've overspent, and we need to make some cutbacks, and we need to save massively.
Well, we do.
Yeah.
The poor people, while the rich are getting mega tax breaks.
But then nobody asked the question, hey, Mr. Cameron, we know why you've got to act in these Islamic countries, but... You know, we're asking the question. Nobody's actually said, hey, look, you can afford to go to war with Libya, because that's what we did. You can afford to go to war now with Iraq again. You know, there's numerous other things that we've done as well. But you're also saying we need to pull our belts in. So you can pay for that, but you can't pay for the other. And I just... no one's answering that question.
Because the economy isn't being run for the good of the people. It's being run for big business. It's being run to punish the poor and to subsidise the rich. That's exactly what's going on.
Hey, look, I don't disagree, and but say it's really good to talk to you both, and it's nice that you've you know, we've had this healthy debate of for and against certain things. But hey, we've got to move on. We've got to take a break. But thank you, Jay, and thank you to you, Phil.
All right then. I'll see you next time. I phone in.
Bye-bye. Yes, bye guys.
Sort of. Anyway.
Cheers now.
Bye.
Just out of interest.
There they were, go on.
I've just looked up the Isle of Wight Green Party, and all it says is that they were going to select their candidate on the 22nd of September.
Yeah.
And there is nothing on their website about who they've selected.
No press release, nothing.
No press release, nothing.
And I say to you, look, is it Caroline somebody or other?
Caroline Lucas.
Caroline Lucas.
She's the head of it, isn't
now,
she?
Now, I've heard her speak before. She strikes me as being a decent person.
Yeah.
She really does. You know, and I just think if you had another 150-odd, 300 people that were decent and standing, you've got a chance. But at the moment, how many Greens are actually represented in the big house? Not many.
Well, hardly any. And we've got Keith Taylor, who was elected as MEP for the South East for the Green Party,
right,
which is great. But you're right. Why aren't they getting off their backsides and calling all the local radio things, calling the local press, and actually letting people know what's going on?
I've had nothing from
the
only people. And whatever we say about Andrew Turner, it's a well-oiled machine. If there's something that Andrew says, I get an email. Even if it's something that we might not like, I get an email, I get a press release, and I get two or three most weeks from Andrew Turner's office.
Well,
they've got a team of people that are working incredibly hard. And the unfortunate thing is, okay, you might not have the finances, but how much does it cost for those Green people to say, hey, look, we're going to send an email to say, who is our elected candidate?
Oh, gosh, hang on. Selecting their candidate for two, blah, 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 on open primary. So... Come on, Green Party on the Isle of Wight. What are you doing?
You're more than welcome.
And get in touch with us and come on the show.
You're more than welcome. I'd love to hear your policies. But
I would.
The thing is, I've said this before, and I've put my PR hat on, yeah. And I look at it and I think, if you wanted to be the MP for the Isle of Wight, you should have been announcing stuff earlier this year. You should have been doing it, you know, beginning of this year, and you should be out there, and everyone knows who you are. We talk about and how embarrassing it is, and I'm not having a dig at Jay. I'm not in, and those people that were having a bit of a poke yesterday and saying about the Greens and so on and so forth. How can we invite them in when they're not even there to be invited?
It seems like they seem to. I don't want to think that they're these a kind of group that are having loads and loads of meetings but doing nothing. You know, just does that make sense to you?
And that will come across
that
now.
That is what's coming across right now, frankly. I'm not impressed.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk some more.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. You can download all the movies, music and photos you like with no usage caps at breakneck speeds. Telephone them on 01983 240 240. While You Wait Services is a real Aladdin's Cave in Pyle Street, Newport. A truly local business that offers a fabulous, friendly service. Leather repairs, shoe repairs, key cutting for your car, house or shed. In fact, any kind of keys. They're also experts in engraving, house signs, shoe dyeing. They also do zip replacement for that coat you don't want to throw away. A shop for so many uses. While You Wait Services in Pyle Street, Newport. It's the most useful shop in town.
White Crystal is an Isle of Wight charity selling still and carbonated spring water products, flavoured and water coolers, to fund care services, employment and life-enhancing opportunities for people with a range of disabilities. To see their fabulous wide range of products, go to www.whitecrystal.org.uk or call to place an order on 01983 520 128. That's 01983 520 128.
White Office Equipment Computer Repair is all you need to have your computer or laptop repaired from just £20 plus VAT. This includes all labour for as long as it takes us. Just drop your laptop or computer into our high street store at your convenience and collect it when it's been repaired. No need to book. Come and see us at the High Street, Sandown, opposite Sainsbury's, or call 400-045. That's 400-045.
Fed up with the cost of motoring? Feel like a second-class citizen on the road? Do you want to be heard? Join the British Motorists Association today for just £15 a year and support our campaigns while saving money on all your motoring needs. Visit yourbma.com and join today.
Broadcasting from the Riverside Centre in Newport, this is Vectis Radio.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
Okay, it's 12 minutes to one. You can the lines are now free. I know they were taken up by Jay and Phil. And I'll be honest, Phil puts up a good fight.
Yeah, they both do.
And, you know, he puts a good case across.
Yeah.
And so does JJ, always puts a good case across. But, you know, the facts of the matter and the nuts and bolts are you've got probably two people that are going to be our Prime Minister next year, and that's it.
Yep.
And it's most people, and this is the sad thing, most people will think, it's not much of a choice, is it? Well, it's really down to you to make a bit of an effort, and if you were one of those people that was going to stand, for God's sake, stand up and make yourself known to people. Don't do it, you know, a few weeks before. You've got to start doing it now.
It has to be done now. I mean, if I know that we're possibly giving the Green Party a bit of a hard time, but I think if you are going to put a candidate forward, then for God's sake, get them out there in the media, you know.
Absolutely, you've got to do that. You should have done that months and months and months ago. There was an announcement on their website saying that they were electing somebody on the 22nd of September.
So that's a week ago, just over a week ago. Now there should be another announcement saying, guess who we've elected, and blah, 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 blah.
My mum said to me something yesterday. She said, when it comes down to it, it's a simple choice.
It's a simple choice between red and blue. Blue will make drastic cuts. The reds won't. They'll probably put a little bit more money back in, and some will say that we'll go deeper into debt. Well, if that is true, then isn't what the Tories doing a good thing?
I don't know enough about it. I read an article recently which said it took us back to after the Second World War, when this country was significantly worse off than we are now. Now, somehow, Ian, they managed to turn that round till by the time the 1950s came along, they'd never had it so good. I mean, that was a real golden era. So I don't really understand what's going on now and why. I hold my hands up to that. It does seem to me to be more of a form of population control than it does about economics.
I know Tony Bray is big on economics, because he said that that's it. There's, take the politics out of all of this, put the economics back in, and you will get some answers. And unfortunately, it's all too political, it's all too personal when it comes down to choices and how they look and so on and so forth. And, you know, in that time, we the people, we unfortunately have to suffer. Yes. And that's what we are. But ask yourself this, are we that badly off?
That's a really interesting question, isn't it? Because most people have, hopefully, enough to eat, a roof over their heads. You know, have our standards got so much higher?
Yes.
You know, that if you don't have a 42-inch flat-screen TV, you're in poverty. I don't think that's the case. I mean, having worked with, you know, severely mental illness, and we've looked after teenagers in care for a very long time, honestly, and some of the poverty that you see is hideous.
Just go back in time. Go back 30 years.
Yeah.
It's not much. 1984.
Yeah.
Go back 25 years.
Yeah.
Go back 25 years. What's the essentials?
Food.
Heat.
Roof over your head.
Yeah.
Being able to pay your bills. Water.
Yeah.
Clothing.
Sure.
That's pretty much it, isn't it? That's your absolute essentials.
What's your essentials today?
Well, pretty much the same, because everything else is just a bonus, isn't it?
But they're not essentials, are they? To some people they are. And I look at it and I think, if I was in the poorhouse, I wouldn't have internet, because that's not going to keep me alive.
No, but for a lot of people, if you don't have internet, you can't get a job.
You can go down to internet cafes and spend a little, rather than spend X amount each month on and I know that's tough, and I know that's hard. What I'm trying to do is say, hey, look, 30 years ago, our list was this.
Yeah.
30 years on, 25 years on, our list is this. Times have changed. So therefore, I think, yes, times are a hell of a lot better for the majority, for most people.
Yeah, maybe there's a we're much more a sense hell of a entitlement
lot,
now.
We're a hell of a lot better off.
Yeah.
That's my honest opinion. What do you think about it?
Interesting.
The way we eat. You know, I know that I go back in, you know, in time with how we used to eat at home, and my mum was, you know, would always cook from scratch. You would have meat and two veg most days, but the food quality was, and not down to her cooking at all, was never like it was today.
Partly that is because all our farmers are pretty much out of business or existing on subsidies, and we're bringing all the stuff in, isn't it?
Shall we take one more call?
Let's.
Hi, who's this?
Hello, it's Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
Very interesting phone-in, and Phil really does hold his own very well, doesn't he? And
I'll tell you what, if you've got Phil on your side...
Phil a great deal. But at the end of the day, it's no good moaning and groaning and carrying on. You know, we have a choice, and that's all we've got is what's put before us. And people have got to make their own minds up, regardless of all these wonderful, bright ideas everybody else has got. You've got to make the best of what we've got. And as regards being worse off and badly off, I think, really, that we've been so lucky in this country. And then when things get hard, we don't like it. And you've got to accept the fact that we've had a recession. I think the economy has to come out of it first, the business has to come out of it first, before it can filter down to households. We've been hit in the last 5 years, big, big time, real big time, and we're still here. And we actually said yesterday, we've still got our home, we've got each other, we've got our friends, we've got food. We're lucky. Instead of moaning and groaning, and I think a lot of households don't manage, because I don't think they know how to manage. If being poor means you can't afford to go to McDonald's every 5 seconds, and can't afford the latest phones, that's a sad reflection on poverty. Being poor to me is no food on the table, and you know, no home. And there are people like that, but I'm sure the majority of us aren't like that, and we only ever hear the really bad cases. And I think people have got to learn to manage their finances, manage to feed your family. And you can feed your family on very little, just if you can be bothered. And I think a lot of people can't be bothered. It's all been too easy for us all for too long.
See, I kind of agree. I kind of agree with what you're saying. You know, I've been in the poorhouse. We've eaten a certain way and so on. And you do it. You just pull your belts in.
I mean, what did our parents do during the war years? You know, I mean, my mother had to, you know, when there were no fresh eggs, there was no fresh meat very much. And, you know, and she had to feed a family. And they managed, didn't they? And everybody was fed. We've not been hit like that, have we? And it hurts me dreadfully when I see the peoples of the world that are in such dreadful situations that we never want to be in, and we probably never will be in. We have no idea what it's like to trudge for days to leave your country to save your life and live in a tent somewhere, do we? We have no idea how that must feel.
That's a good point.
I do think that...
Do you ever look... I mean, I look at some of these people, when you watch an old drama and they're going to sit down and then watch a telly and the telly's like the size of a postage stamp, I think, how the hell would we manage now with that? We wouldn't, would we? Mm. That would be so bad.
Most people who are poor, in inverted commas, I bet they've got the great big plasma TVs and I bet they've got all the latest technology gadgets. If that's being poor, then let's have some, because we haven't got that.
Yeah, no, it's a good point.
We live modestly, we live well. I invent meals sometimes if things are a bit tough. It's amazing what you can do with some mints. You know, you can get all sorts of wholesome food out of a dollop of mints in your frying pan. You don't have to be hungry. You don't have to say you can't manage. I'm not. It sounds as though I'm walking about in rags. Well, actually, I am, because I've got my jeans chopped off with a pair of scissors. I don't think, really, the majority of this country are in such a bad, bad way. But there are people who are, and there always will be people who are. And I think there are the genuine poor that I do feel so sorry for, through no fault of their own. And then there are the other ones, we won't mention that word, benefit too much, that think they might have a hard time. Crikey, if we got £26,000 a year, we'd think we were laughing. That's their cap at the moment. It's going to be reduced to 23,000, isn't it?
Yeah, but Jackie, you've got to take that into a context, because if somebody's on £26,000 a year, it's probably because they're living in a city where rents are ridiculously high and they've got a large family.
Okay, let me just cut across you there, because I can see both sides. I'm in the middle. I'm hearing Jackie say this. I'm hearing you say that. And I look at you and I think, what you're saying is common sense. What Jackie is saying is common sense too. Do you know what the problem is? The problem is, again, that it's not been explained brilliantly well, has it?
No,
it's
that's
just
right.
Throwing
that's
right. it
and
out
we
there.
And often my own conclusions. And often they're wrong.
Our internet, our media have just chucked it out there, not gone into massive detail. So we take that from it. Someone else takes that from it. Yeah. But what they should say is just the thing that you've just explained. Hey, look, if you live in London, it's going to cost you a little bit more. If you live on the Isle of Wight, it's going to be far less.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you want from our media. Why do they do it that way? Because of idiots like us. We're sat in a radio studio arguing the toss over something they started.
Yes, I would agree with that.
anyway, I
don't think there is a solution. I don't think any party, whether they're green, red, blue, purple, white, whatever, nobody is going to ever, ever solve. We're never going to have utopia in the political arena. It's just not possible.
But okay,
let's try and strive for it.
We've got to end it there because it's 1 o'clock, and I want to get this message in before 1 o'clock, because we've had a bit of a dig at the Greens and there has been a reply from them.
Oh,
so
excellent.
Thank you for your call, Jackie.
Right,
thank
bye.
You. Okay, I'll come back to you in a moment, but I just want to get this in. And it is college lecturer Vix Lalvian gained the most votes in our open primary on Monday night. You're using the term hour.
open primary night there, Jay. A postal would suggest that he's, you know, or she. A postal ballot will now be sent to all local members to confirm her official selection for the 2015 general election at the Isle of Wight Green Party, the Green Open Primary Party. So congratulations to Vix. Hopefully we'll be talking to them, or Vix and the team. Vix is spelled V-I-X.
Yes, I'm probably short for Vicky.
I'm guessing, yeah, I'm hoping it's...
Victoria.
Unless it's a misprint, there's no X.